Now let's go to Switzerland, high in the Swiss Alps. We're visiting my friend Olli Eggemann, who's the school teacher in a little village, a traffic-free village halfway up the Schilthorn called Gimmelwald. Olli, thanks for joining us.
Yes, fun to speak to you, Rick.
Tell me about Christmas. What's distinct about Christmas in a little village high in the Swiss Alps?
The first thing, obviously, that makes Christmas a great thing is the snow is usually approaching. We get snow around Christmas time a little bit earlier. Days are shortened. Everybody's looking forward to family festivities. In early December, we get the first feeling from Sami Klaus, from our Santa Claus.
Describe Sami Klaus. He's like the Santa Claus, but he's different. What does he do?
This Sami Klaus is a very important person, and he is visiting all the children the 6th of December. And the Sami Klaus is dressed up in red, and he has a helper. His helper is Schmutzli, and he is dressed up in black clothes. Both usually have a long beard. They have a donkey or a little horse, and on the back of the animal you have usually a huge bag full of peanuts, tangerines, sometimes even some chocolate. And this Sami Klaus goes to visit the different children in the village.
They must be frightened when they see him.
Well, you know, he's quite a man, and usually he has a huge book in one hand, and Schmutzli comes with a kind of a broom. The Sami Klaus, you know, he is a holy person, and obviously birds can speak to him, and sometimes birds tell him about his children if they have committed some stupid things, and obviously he will give them a little lesson, and he has all written down. And quite often when he visits the children, he might give them a little lecture, what they should maybe do better. And he will look up in his huge book. And to make look this book really old, quite often you just put some flour in it. When you open it, it's all dusty. And then usually children either sing a song for the Sami Klaus or they tell a poem. And if they do so afterwards, they get something from the Sami Klaus. They can usually open the bag and get out some tangerines or nuts.
So it's just another way for parents to terrorize their children into being nice and not naughty.
Yes, you can say that. And, you know, funny enough, even when you're an adult, even if you go to a home of retired people and somebody comes dressed up as a Sami Klaus, I will tell you one thing, everybody gets somehow excited and to a certain strange way feels back in the time when he was a child, and everybody has a lot of fun with it. And you know, the time when a child is really scared of a Sami Klaus is usually a very short one, let's say between 3 and 5. And quite often when 6 or 7, they all of a sudden can understand that it's somebody they probably know. And then it obviously gets even more fun than before, because they halfway take him serious, halfway they believe it's somebody else.
So you mentioned December 6th. I don't understand. Sami Klaus comes on December 6th or on the 25th?
No, he comes the 6th of December.
Oh, he does. So
he's
different.
He comes on the 6th, not on the 20th, 25th, or 24th.
Now, why on the 6th? What's that special day?
In the church, all the saints have their particular day. And the day of the Sami Klaus is the 6th of December.
Is that Saint Nicholas?
Yeah.
Ah, so Saint
Nicholas.
So that's
the day he is coming.
And Sami Klaus comes from the word Saint Nicholas, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, and it's as All Saints, he has his day, and that's the 6th of December. You really see him in most villages. You get several people who do this job, really. Yeah.
Now, something else unique about Swiss villages, the way you celebrate Advent, everybody becomes sort of involved in Advent. How do you do that in your village?
Well, in our village, in the end of November, all the women in the village gather at the schoolhouse and they distribute different days. And each family usually is in charge to decorate a window for the Advent. So one gets the first, one gets the second, until the 24th. And each evening, another, quite often, the window is lit up with, they decorate the window. Sometimes they use special papers, others use lamps. Some others are painting on the window. And people from the village walk around and look one window after the other. So the 24th of December, you'll have 24 different windows. Quite often, we, especially on weekends, we meet all together in one of the houses, quite often in the garden, make a fire, eat something, drink some hot wine, and yes, it's quite a celebration.
So paint the picture, Ollie. You're up in the high up in the Alps. It's snow everywhere. You're like a bunch of penguins sitting around drinking hot wine. You got the accordion player with his mitten fingers cut off so he can still play.
Oh yes. Well, you know, people are used to temperatures, but yes, the accordion player, he will always be there, and people will even sing their songs, and quite, you know, everybody is gathering. Children are around, parents are there, and it's quite a nice thing. Sometimes children get a fire that they can fry their sausage too. So
and you have hot wine? Do you really have hot wine? Because the tourists always think of the hot spiced wine.
Yes. No, we really drink it. It's, I don't know the English term, but you put a lot of spices in this wine and warm it up.
So you have this conviviality where the entire village gets together on these outdoor freezing parties, but also you've got fondue, right? I know a lot of tourists, they have fondue in the summer, and they're the only people eating fondue, but I understand fondue really is appropriate in the winter.
Well, it is really. You know, quite often when it's really cold outdoors, that's the moment we feel it's time for a fondue. And even in our family, quite often each second week or even once a week, we have a fondue at certain times. Let's say you go skiing, sometimes you sleep over in a hut somewhere, then you just take some bread with you, some cheese, and then you make a fondue together. Everybody sits just around this warm pot with the warm cheese, melted cheese, together with wine, and that's absolutely a fabulous dish. First of all, you eat out of the same pot. It gives also a feeling of belonging together, and it's delicious, absolutely delicious. In summertime, I don't know. I have a strange feeling I couldn't eat it in summertime. It's too hot. You know, when you make your fondue at home, you start with cheese, you grate it, you put it in your pans, you prepare it completely yourself. Sometimes in the restaurants, I have the impression they get them out of plastic bags, the cheese. Right. And sometimes, I'm sorry, the cheese smells exactly like that.
Ollie, tell me about Figugekkel.
Sometimes when we meet people and we can just put on the invitation Figugekkel, then everybody knows it will be fondue. Figugekkel means fondue is gut und gibt eine gute Laune. If you translate it, it's fondue is good and puts you in a good mood. And this was in the 70s or 80s, it was, the advertisement was always like this.
You're
going to eat fondue.
So those are the first letters of those words. And
yes,
it's basically fondue is
exactly
good, and it makes a very warm, cozy atmosphere.
Yeah.
So you know you're going to have a Figugekkel party.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice. Ollie, when you think back as a child, what are some of your best memories in Switzerland for Christmas?
You know, it's in each part of Switzerland, obviously, it's a little bit different. I grew up in the area of Bern before, in the plains, and quite often this time was, we had a lot of fog. It was fairly cold. And obviously, as children, we were looking forward to getting presents. We were looking for the Christmas tree. As children, Christmas was always something like a fairy tale, a day where you get one parcel after the other, and especially also this tree, all this light. And up here in Gimbelwald, with my own children, I have the impression there's even more. Here we have usually a lot of snow. We get through all these candles more light again. It's the warmth. Usually work is done. You sit together with your family. It's a wonderful time. It's most families, usually for 1 or 2 weeks, or at least 1 week, nobody works, everybody is at home.
Mm-hmm.
You have plenty of time to spend together, and that makes Christmas such a wonderful time.
I'll never forget going Christmas tree hunting with you and your family, and your children seemed to know to pick a tree that had branches spaced so you could put the candles in them, didn't they?
Yes, and you know, as we are just a few people here, quite often families just go out to a place where we know there are trees, and sometimes trees are growing in areas and pastures where cows should graze, and you have to put away those trees anyway.
Right.
So that's quite often we go there, choose one beautiful one, cut it down and bring it home and put it up. It belongs to the work before Christmas, and it's a beautiful part because usually there's a lot of snow too, and children love this kind of work.
So it's really a ritual, cutting the tree, and then you actually light real candles on the tree on Christmas Eve, isn't that right? That must make you nervous.
Oh no, we have never done anything else. We always have candles on our trees. Usually you put up the tree, let's say, a week before Christmas already.
Right.
And then gradually you put all the parcels under the tree. You light it on Christmas Day and then on New Year's Eve again. I think real candles, they're beautiful. Obviously, from time to time, you might get, if a candle is a little bit too close to the tree, you can get a little fire on it, but usually it's easy to extinguish. And, you know, this Christmas tree stays traditionally at least a week. Usually it's lit also the 1st of January once again. And usually that's the moment you have to be a little bit more careful, because when a pine tree stays inside a house with quite warm temperatures, it gets very easily dry. So this 1st of January, when you light the Christmas tree, you have really to look carefully what happens. I remember even once in my childhood that it took fire and we had to throw it out of the window.
Mm.
But that's one time in 40 years, so it's not too dangerous.
Now, Ollie, you're a teacher in a gorgeous little village where it's like a one-room schoolhouse. You have many different grades, and you celebrate the various holidays of the year. As a teacher in a Swiss Alp village, how do you incorporate Christmas into the classroom?
We have usually one big Christmas celebration. Already a month or 6 weeks before Christmas, we start learning Christmas songs. Quite often, children play a play. So there's quite a lot of preparation, and this year, two days before Christmas, we will have a school celebration where the parents are all invited. Quite often there's also children get presents afterwards.
How many days off do the children get for Christmas vacation?
Usually a fortnight.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Right. And this year, what are you thankful for, and what are your wishes for next year?
My wishes for next year. Oh, well, you know, I think it's everybody has its wishes. I personally hope that that we'll have a beautiful time as we had this year. And yes, that's a difficult question.
Now, Ollie, in Switzerland, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Schöne Weihnachten.
Schöne Weihnachten.
Schöne Weihnachten.
A beautiful Christmas night, is that what that means?
Well, yes.
Literally?
More or less, yes.
Yeah, great. Well, schöne Weihnachten to you and your family. Thanks for joining us this Christmas, Ollie.
Thank you very much. Schöne Weihnachten for you too, Rick.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.